We now turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12. And we have mentioned we've been winding down the themes section of Proverbs, and then we'll finish out the book exegetically. But today's theme is going to be integrity. And I'll read from Proverbs chapter 12. Hear the word of God. Whoever loves, it's page 448, if you're looking in the Pew Bible, 448. Again, hear the word of God. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are true. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man will be condemned according to... No, I'm sorry, I'm not reading well. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He who tills the land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway there is, and in its pathway there is no death. Here ends the reading of God's word. May he bless that to our hearts and our minds. Now, I mentioned that our theme, as we continue to look at these themes in the book of Proverbs, is the theme of integrity. Integrity is a word that means a state of wholeness and undivided. It's connected to both honesty and being morally upright. And it's a word that is very interesting in the history of the study of virtues, as virtues relate to Western philosophical tradition, because the word integrity is not a word that's listed as a virtue. And I'll explain why integrity is not a virtue. And it's connected to the fact that the root of the word integrity is the word integer. So that referring to wholeness or a completeness. So integers are whole numbers. A person with integrity is a person who is whole, who is complete. And you may see a person in public, and that person in public, because of his or her integrity, wholeness, completeness, is going to be the same person in private. There's no difference in how they live their lives. So we think of integrity as being this combination of different virtues that we've seen within the book of Proverbs, and the way that all of those are lived out wholly or completely. It's not something that's separate, you know, from other virtues, like if you're loving or other virtues. It's integrity or wholeness, and brings all of these in that we may live them out in one way. I read one article on the idea of how the business world is looking for leaders who reflect integrity. And the article said, the world is crying out for whole people to step forward and to lead. I thought that was great. The idea of the wholeness of bringing all of our virtues, all the things that we've learned in Proverbs together, and leading from that whole completeness is something that even the world is saying, this is what we need. This is what we need for success. So integrity refers not to the character traits of a person, but to the quality of the character of a person. There's other uses of the term, and they really help us to think about the way that the book of Proverbs uses integrity, and Western tradition uses integrity as this wholeness or completeness of a person's character. In other ways the word is used is helpful for us in understanding that. So you can think of the integrity of a wilderness area. And we talk about how if a certain area has integrity, or a wilderness has integrity, it means that it's completely intact. It's not corrupted as a wilderness area. You can think about the word used in the world of computers or databases or defense systems. If there's anyone into like defending our nation here, the word integrity is a word that would be used at the heart of that. Or those of you here that are into art and art appreciation, when you look at a certain piece, one of the ways that you describe the goodness and fullness of a piece of art is its integrity as a work. Or you can think of other things like objects, and how integrity tells us of wholeness and durability, and how things are able to interact in the ways that integrity is put forward. So integrity is something that tells us of wholeness in our personhood. So in your character, as you're developing into the man or woman that Jesus Christ would have you to become, integrity is taking all of those different areas of our Christian character and bringing them together and living them out in wholeness, living them out in such a way that it's not that we're different at church than we are at home, or we're different in private than we are in public. There's a wholeness and a completeness to how we live out our Christian life. The Hebrew word, there's a masculine and a feminine version of the Hebrew word, and it's the word that we find in the book of Proverbs, and the word is translated a few different ways that I think is helpful through the book of Proverbs. So integrity, uprightness, perfection, here's an old theological word, simplicity, full, or perfect. All of these being words that bring this Hebrew proverbial understanding of integrity together. The noun form, as I've noted, is related to the idea of wholeness. So where do we see this in Proverbs? What does Proverbs tell us about that now that we have a sense of the idea of what the word means in Hebrew? Proverbs 10:9 says, "He who walks with integrity," so think of wholeness, think of completeness, think of all of your virtues coming under Jesus Christ and coming together that we may walk in them. "He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known." So we walk uprightly before God, and we walk uprightly with integrity before our neighbor as well. There's a sureness to this. There is a security in knowing that who we are before God is going to be who we are before others as well. It's going to be security in that it frees us from certain temptations that may come. It frees us from the accusations of hypocrisy that may come. It's an understanding that when we walk that way with our eyes towards the Lord, with the integrity that the scriptures call us to, in the wholeness and completeness of our character, we're able to stand before God walking securely. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." So we think with concerning integrity in this verse, we think of ethics in the ways that you live out your life. If you are doing your work a certain way when the boss is in the room, and then doing your work a different way when the boss is not in the room. That's the difference between having integrity and not having integrity. And this is what the proverb says: the integrity of the upright will guide them. They're able to walk in that way without having to be babysat at all times in their life, understanding that the ethical decisions they make are unto the Lord and for the good of those around them, and they live in a way that reflects that integrity as a person. I would think that would be a great idea if you had a company that wanted integrity to be at the center of the way that people did their business and worked out the ways that they lived. Proverbs 12:17 through 19, "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, a false witness deceit. There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established, and the lying tongue is but for a moment." So the way that we speak and the way that we live, this connection of integrity being the way that we live out our lives with eternity at the center of it. Truth, integrity being the values that are promoted by the way that we live our lives. Integrity in men and women who are Christians and men and women of character are men and women that take responsibility for themselves, take responsibility for their lives, for their homes, for their jobs, for all the things that they're called to do, and they live through and through those virtues together, that's the wholeness, living them out with an eye towards Christ, taking responsibilities for their failures. Think of Reformation church history. Some of you may know the line, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England that it shall never be put out." That's the Oxford martyrs. As they went to the flames to be martyred for the sake and glory of Jesus Christ, they understood that they stood for a certain purpose. And if you remember the story of Cranmer, who at one time signed a confession that he would not promote the Reformed religion, Cranmer said, "I'm going to put my hand in this fire first, because it's by this hand that I sinned against God." And he allowed his hand to be burned before he stood as a martyr. Why? Because he was a man of integrity. He was a man that understood that even though he failed and he sinned, and you say, "Well, that's not integrity, Pastor Nathan." You're right. But integrity is taking responsibility for that and doing what's right unto the glory of Jesus Christ. It is eternally minded, living out truth. This is integrity. Proverbs 21, verse 3, "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." So the one who lives a life of integrity understands that balance, what it means to live righteously and with justice according to the word, and not just seeing the letter of the law that calls for sacrifice. It's the ability to make that discernment and to be able to live in such a way where we live for the sake of righteousness and justice and not merely for the sake of saying, "Well, these are the rules. I'm going to live according to the rules." No, we take all of these things into consideration in integrity, and we live out our Christian life in that whole way. Now, what are some thoughts that can help us to live in a better way, live with wholeness and completeness and with the essence of what it means to have integrity? Now, first, again, it's important to remember that in the scriptures, it's not listed as a virtue. And in ancient philosophy, it's not listed as a virtue. In Western tradition, not listed as a virtue. It's something that brings all of the virtues together in the way that we live out our lives. So how do we do that with an understanding from the Word of God? I'm going to leave you with five key thoughts. The first is that in our integrity, we are called to be imitators of Jesus Christ. So as we think about what it means to live in wholeness and live out our lives in a whole way, we do that with an eye towards Jesus Christ. We're not Stoics. We're not those that just want to better ourselves. You know, this is very popular among conservative young men right now. Betterment. You find all sorts of YouTube channels on the ways to better yourself and in various things. The Word of God does not call us to betterment for the sake of us being better. It calls us to imitate Jesus Christ. And this is how we are to live. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." So we live in that way. We see that wholeness. And in a sense, we ought to be looking to those who live their lives, their Christian lives, in that integrity. We're to look at them, in a sense, as mentors toward Jesus Christ. We live toward them for the sake and glory of Jesus Christ. So that helps us. Secondly, we are to be reminded that as Christians, we represent God on earth. We're called ambassadors. And if we want to better live out our lives, our Christian life, if we want to proclaim Christ to a dark and dying world, we know that our integrity is something that is going to keep us from falling. We know in 1 Peter, we're told that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, that you may proclaim him. And this is how we are called to live. And if we want to walk in integrity and have that wholeness of all of these virtues and the Christian character coming together that we would walk, we're reminded that we're not only doing so looking to Jesus, but there's a world watching, and you are priests among the world. You are chosen and holy so that people may see Christ in you. Third motivation. Integrity is something that helps us to walk in life better. It's a way to live in the Spirit of God. We're told that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If integrity is something that is going to help to bring all of these characteristics into a wholeness together, that we walk in the Christian life in that way, we're reminded that all of these things that we're called to do, we look to Christ by faith, we're being sanctified in our sanctification, we're growing in our Christian character, and in all of those things, as you bring them together and seek to live in that way, we're reminded that that is life and peace according to the Scriptures. It gives us freedom, it gives us the mindset of peace with God. Number four, when we live our lives from this sense of integrity, God is most glorified. Matthew 5, I quoted last week, I'll quote it again, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven." So we seek to live in such a way where people look at us and they see that wholeness, and in private there's wholeness, and we're not living scandalous lives at work or scandalous lives on the internet. We're living lives of wholeness and uprightness before the Lord, and people look at that and they give God the glory. That's what Jesus says. That ought to be an encouragement to you. And then lastly, connected to good works, only with biblical and proverbial integrity are we able to complete all of these good works that God has set out for us. Ephesians tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's a sense of wholeness in that, that all of these ways that we are being conformed to the image of Christ, God has beforehand declared that this is how we should live and this is how we should walk. And if we want to satisfy the good works that God has called us to do, we're going to seek wholeness. We're going to seek integrity in the way that we live out our lives. a congregation, it doesn't take too long on internet news sites to realize that over and over and over again, Christians and those who take on the name of Jesus Christ fail and end up bringing disfavor, bringing shame upon the name of Jesus Christ and on the church. You know, I've been a minister 15 years. I could probably give you 15 major scandals that have happened in my 15 years of ministry that are from American evangelicalism in the big sense. And you could name 15 or more as well. These things bring shame upon Christ. And the common denominator in all of these things, you could say it's sin and it's satanic, and that's true. Those are common denominators. But in our person, and as we think about the book of Proverbs, the common denominator is the lack of integrity. It's those who profess Christ who are different here than they are here. And this is something that ought to change, and the book of Proverbs encourages us and challenges us to walk in such a way that that wholeness is there. Again, think of those words. Think of the different ways that integrity is used. Integrity in character, integrity in art, integrity in wilderness or in ecology, integrity in national defense, integrity in computer databases. All of these different ways that this word is used, they mean the same thing. They mean complete and whole and not broken into. And the Proverbs would call us to live our lives in that way as well, with Jesus Christ at the center and with our eyes fixed upon Christ. May we walk in this way to bring him greater glory. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God and the truth of the book of Proverbs. We thank you for these many ways that we are challenged to live out our Christian life, and help us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.